Imagine actually loving everything you have in your closet. I'm getting a little closer to that experience the more I get from Honeylove. I've learned I can really rely on the comfort, fit, quality, and look of Honeylove no matter what. And it seems like they think of everything we might want but didn't know existed. The Legging 2.0, for example, has it all. Comfort, function, and style. Smooth, soft fabric, hidden shaping panels that make me feel extra supported and confident, sheer-proof fabric so I have no worries, side pockets for the convenience I need, a super cute look, and more. And I love that I can wear them out and about, around the house, or to work out. And Honeylove addresses all of the typical complaints about bras and shapewear, too. All of Honeylove's products make everything I wear feel better. So yes, Honeylove has you covered for the everyday look, workouts, weddings, and more. Go check it out. Treat yourself to the best bras, shapewear, leggings, and more on the market and save 20% off at honeylove.com/newsworthy. Use our exclusive link to get 20% off, honeylove.com/newsworthy. After your purchase, they ask you where you heard about them, so please support our show and tell them we sent you. Treat yourself to Honeylove because you deserve it.
Today is Thursday, October 8th. We'll break down some highlights from last night's vice presidential debate. Was it civil? Who sidestepped what questions? And about that fly. Also, an update on Hurricane Delta, from what happened in Mexico to preps in Louisiana. Plus, a history-making Nobel Prize, a new Instagram-like feature coming to Slack, and new rules for the Oscars. Welcome, welcome to The Newsworthy. All the day's news in less than 10 minutes. Fast, fair, fun, and on the go. I'm Erica Mandy. Thanks so much for being here. You ready? Let's do this. The first and only vice presidential debate this year is now complete. Vice President Mike Pence and Senator Kamala Harris came face-to-face on stage in Salt Lake City, Utah. And the first takeaway? This debate was mostly civil, at least more so than the presidential debate last week. There wasn't the same kind of name-calling, and there was less interrupting. But the candidates still did have a few tense moments, since they do disagree about a lot. For starters, the COVID-19 pandemic. Vice President Pence defended the Trump administration's response and his role as the coordinator of the White House Coronavirus Task Force. Pence says their actions in the spring, like stocking up on supplies and restricting flights from China, likely saved more than a million lives. But Senator Harris said the Trump administration knew the seriousness of the virus in late January and hid it from the American people. She called their response, quote, the greatest failure of any presidential administration in the history of our country. Also of note from this debate, both Pence and Harris sidestepped some questions. For example, the vice president was asked whether he and President Trump would accept the rules of an election if they lost. Instead of responding with a yes or no, Pence said he believes it won't be an issue because they'll get reelected. He also said he supports a, quote, free and fair election. He also talked around a question about how they would help people with pre-existing conditions keep health insurance if they get rid of Obamacare. As for Senator Harris, she dodged a question about whether a Biden-Harris administration would try to pack the Supreme Court, or in other words, change the law to add more justices to the bench if the court is too conservative. But Harris did not answer directly. Instead, she focused on President Trump rushing in his latest nominee, Judge Amy Coney Barrett, saying Trump should allow Americans to decide on Election Day. Harris also avoided talking about her past support for the so-called Green New Deal, which was a bill to address climate change, though it never passed. And one other talked-about moment from last night's debate is a silly one. A lot of people on social media really got a kick out of a fly landing on Vice President Pence's head, and it stayed there for a few minutes since Pence didn't really seem to notice it. Well, that fly already has its own Twitter account, and the memes and GIFs have been circulating all night and through the morning. All right, so even though that was the only VP debate, there's supposed to be two more presidential debates. The next one is set for next week on October 15th. President Trump and former Vice President Joe Biden will come together again for a town hall-style debate this time in Miami, Florida. And yes, that's still on, despite President Trump's COVID-19 diagnosis. Trump says he plans to be there. And Biden says he's up for it too, as long as Trump tests negative beforehand. Stay tuned. President Trump has been working in the Oval Office again for the first time since he left the hospital earlier this week. Remember, he was originally isolating in the East Wing Monday night and Tuesday instead of the West Wing, where many senior aides work. Now, a White House spokesperson told reporters, Trump returned to the Oval Office because he's feeling good again and safety precautions are in place. Senior administration officials told CBS News White House employees were given personal protective equipment to wear, like gowns, masks, and goggles, in case they need to get within 6 feet of the president. Still, the move is alarming to some doctors who have not been treating the president. And that's because the CDC says a person can be contagious for up to 10 days after coronavirus symptoms go away. So it's important to stay isolated as much as possible for about 2 weeks or risk putting others in danger. White House doctors did not pose any public objections to President Trump's move, though. In a video yesterday, Trump even called catching COVID-19 a blessing from God because it taught him about the potential treatments and let him experience firsthand how effective they can be. While he was at Walter Reed Medical Center, Trump received oxygen, steroids, antiviral drugs, and an experimental antibody treatment. Though critics say many Americans don't have that same access to care. The New York Times reports the same treatment would cost the average American more than $100,000 in medical bills, even after insurance pays its share. It's also worth noting, ABC News received an internal government memo from FEMA that says 34 White House staffers and other contacts have so far tested positive for COVID-19 in recent days. The number of new COVID-19 cases is going up in 39 states now. And in the last week, USA Today reports both Wisconsin and Hawaii have reported a record number of deaths. Wisconsin especially is starting to take new precautions since cases have more than doubled there in the past month. Starting today, indoor bars and restaurants will be capped at 25% capacity. Governor Tony Evers also announced a field hospital will open next week in a Milwaukee suburb to help hospitals that have been overwhelmed with new patients. The most serious patients will still go to a regular hospital, but this facility should be able to serve patients who are not as critical. Hurricane Delta is expected to hit the U.S. this week as a Category 3 storm. Already, the storm made landfall just south of Cancun, Mexico, and swept across the Yucatan Peninsula. Thankfully, no injuries or deaths have been reported, since most tourists or residents were able to evacuate ahead of time. So what comes next? Well, forecasters are warning Louisiana could get hit harder than Mexico did. Much of Louisiana's coast is now under a hurricane warning, and parts of the Texas and Mississippi coasts are under tropical storm warnings. People in all three states are being told to brace for heavy rain, flooding, and strong winds, along with a potentially life-threatening storm surge. So now people are busy shoring up levees, sandbagging, and taking other precautions like packing up in case widespread evacuation orders are issued as soon as today. New data shows last month was the world's hottest September on record. Scientists say the record was mostly driven by unusually high temperatures in places like the Middle East, Australia, and South America. These findings come from the Copernicus Climate Change Service, which is backed by the European Union. And it wasn't just September. NBC News reports both January and May set monthly heat records as well. And if the trend keeps up, scientists think 2020 could end up being the hottest year ever recorded. All right, we have more news coming up, but first, this episode is brought to you by Function of Beauty. If you're unhappy with your self-care or beauty routine, let's change that. You deserve to feel your best from head to toe. That's the philosophy at Function of Beauty, who makes personalized shampoos and conditioners that are formulated just for you. And now, along with hair care, they also offer customizable body wash and body lotion that can be tailored for your skin moisture level and other preferences. You can even pick your favorite color and fragrance, just like you can with their hair care. And whatever you get, I love that Function of Beauty's formulas always use clean ingredients that are cruelty-free. So what are you waiting for? Go to functionofbeauty.com/newsworthy to take your 4-part hair profile quiz, and you can save 20% on your first order. The quiz is quick and easy, and it helps them customize the products just for you. Go to functionofbeauty.com/newsworthy for 20% off to let them know you heard about it from our show. That's functionofbeauty.com/newsworthy. Now, back to the news. For the first time, the Nobel Prize in Chemistry has gone to two women. This year, it was awarded to Emmanuelle Charpentier of France and Jennifer A. Doudna of the U.S. The pair developed a gene editing tool that has revolutionized science. CRISPR can strategically alter someone's DNA. Eventually, this might rid people of inherited diseases like cystic fibrosis, muscular dystrophy, and sickle cell disease. It can also be used to combat things like HIV and cancer. The award-winning scientists say they hope their discovery will always be used for good. Of course, there have been some ethical concerns with CRISPR. Critics have said it gives humans too much power, that it's like playing God. Either way, the AP reports it's being tested in more than 100 clinical trials right now, and many are showing promise. Facebook is the latest tech giant to ban political ads right after the general election. The social media site will block the ads after the polls close on November 3rd. If this sounds familiar, it's because Google said last month it would do nearly the exact same thing. And here's why. The election results are expected to come in slower than usual this year because of mail-in ballots, and the worry is candidates will take out ads prematurely declaring victory, which could cause confusion. By the way, you will not see any political ads on Twitter at all, no matter the timing. The company banned all of them last year. The business chat platform Slack is rolling out a new feature that's said to be similar to Instagram Stories. It will let users post video snippets to update their colleagues and bosses on what they're doing. Slack has gotten super popular during the pandemic since so many people are now working remotely. So about 12 million users are going to be getting this new option. Slack hopes this new video option will improve workflow and help people avoid virtual meetings, which can often be time-consuming. As The Verge reports, it's still experimenting with this new feature, but plans to roll it out by the end of the year. Slack is also looking to add push-to-talk options for audio clips. Drive-in movies can now qualify for the 2021 Oscars. Usually, films have to hit traditional theaters to be considered, but that rule has been problematic this year since the pandemic has forced indoor theaters to close, while drive-in ones have gotten more popular. So for next year, movies that play at drive-in theaters in major U.S. cities can be considered for an Academy Award as well. By the way, as we've reported before, the Academy is also considering films that go straight to streaming. And that's it for the main 10 minutes of news today, but now it's time for Thing to Know Thursday. And today's Thing to Know is about what happens if a presidential candidate does not make it to Inauguration Day in January, meaning either they die or are incapacitated in some way, making them unable to do the job. Of course, this question has been asked a lot in the last week since President Trump is battling COVID-19, and both Trump and Vice President Biden are in their 70s. And the short answer to this is it depends on when it happens. If it happens before Election Day, but after the start of early voting, like in the next few weeks, there are a couple of options. One, Congress could vote to delay the election to give election officials time to change out the names on the ballots. Or two, voters could go ahead and still cast their ballots for that candidate, trusting that their party, Democrat or Republican, would select someone else capable to take the spot. In the presidential race, it would be up to the RNC or DNC to select a replacement, and no, it would not automatically be the vice presidential candidate, although that would be a likely option. And that's your Thing to Know today. All right, thank you so much for listening. We'll be back with more news to know tomorrow. Until then, have a great day.